This is Scott Becker with Becker Group Business Leadership. Thrilled today to have a discussion on business leadership. We've got four great speakers, three of which are CEO founders of successful businesses, plus Julia Kalish. And Julia is a professor of business, now teaching at Loyola University in Chicago. I'm going to ask Lindsay Burton, Marion Crawford, Julia Kalish, and Michelle Byers to introduce themselves. Thank you for joining us. Let me start by asking Lindsay Burton. Lindsay, can you take a moment to introduce yourself? Then I'll ask Michelle, Marion, and Julia to do the same.
Hi, Scott. Thanks for having me on today. This is Lindsay Burton. I'm founder and president of the KO Conference Series. KO stands for knockout, which for us means that we are in the business of helping women in business and investing knock out any obstacles in their way. We're a media organization that through both live in-person and now virtual events and a digital community helps connect women for networking, for learning opportunities, and for leadership. We believe that connection is a fundamental human drive and feeling like part of a community really matters.
Well, and Lindsay, you've done a tremendous job developing an audience in high-end areas like finance and law and other areas amongst high-powered and very, very driven, smart, terrific women leaders. Thank you. Michelle, can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Wonderful. Absolutely. Hello, everybody. This is Michelle Byers. I am the president and CEO of Mantra Meetings. And Mantra Meetings is a medical education company. We do physician and nurse practitioner clinical education for physicians and clinicians across the United States and a little bit internationally. And we've been doing that for about 20 years. So super excited to be here to talk to all of you today. And thank you for inviting me, Scott.
Thank you, Michelle. Marion Crawford.
Hey, Scott. Thanks for having me. This is Marion, and I am the founder and CEO of Crawford Strategy. We are a 10-year-old full-service marketing and branding agency based in Greenville, South Carolina. We have a particular area of expertise in the financial services industries, healthcare, and travel and tourism. And then at the same time, for the last year, I've been serving in the capacity of a chief marketing officer for a $15 billion bank client and helping build an internal marketing team as well as develop and implement a corporate marketing strategy.
Thank you. And like Lindsay and Michelle, you've all built businesses completely from scratch as founders of businesses. Julia, you're a thinker on business, a lecturer, a professor. Tell us a bit about your background.
So I am Dr. Julia Kalish. Hello, everybody. I am formerly a lecturer at Purdue University and Notre Dame, and I'm currently at Loyola University Chicago. And so I teach courses in leadership and operations and project management and business analytics. And when you're a lecturer, you get to teach a lot of different courses across the whole spectrum. So pretty much anything business related is what I've been teaching for the last number of years. I'm also an Army veteran, and I've owned a number of small businesses in the past. So I kind of come from business leadership from, sounds like, very different angles than your other guests today.
Well, thank you, Julia. And why don't I start this way? I'll start with you and go back the reverse direction that we started in the introductions. And I'll have you comment on the following question. We're in a period of time where, from a leadership perspective, certainly from a political leadership perspective, it's really hard to find what we see as great political leadership. From a business leadership perspective, it also seems like it's all over the board. Very hard to get a handle on what's great leadership, what's not. You see great examples of leadership, and you see poor examples of leadership. And I wanted you to take a moment and talk about, when you think of business leadership, what kinds of concepts work? What are things that work or good examples of leadership?
I think things have changed, obviously, very drastically. So some things remain the same and true over time, and some things have changed. I believe that it used to be that the big would eat the small, and I think more than ever, it's the fast that eat the slow. And so I think from a business leadership perspective, focusing on being lean and flexible, and perhaps above all, knowledgeable of not just your own little niche, but of the larger world, of the larger business climate, has become more important than ever.
So I love the concepts of, at one point, the big ate the small, and certainly that still is quite true as some of the biggest get bigger, but increasingly the fast beat the slow, and then lean and flexible and very knowledgeable about what's going on, and then I guess quick to the game, quick to what you're trying to accomplish.
Right.
Marian, let me ask you a similar question. All kinds of examples of leadership. What works today? What do you admire in leadership today?
Well, I would say a couple of things. One is, it's very important to understand what it is that what's your purpose? Have a clarity of purpose, because people who are following a leader, they want to know that what they are doing matters. And so you've got to be able to not only know what your purpose is, establish that, but communicate it. I think that is particularly important during the time that we're in right now with the pandemic and the uncertainty. People want to know what they're doing matters so that they can continue to focus on what's important. I also think from a leader, individual leader standpoint, I think if you know yourself and what are your strengths, then you can make sure that you have people around you who help you where you are not as strong. I could go on about that, but I feel like understanding what are your strengths and really focusing on those, but having people around you to help you where you're not as strong is important.
So the concept of knowing yourself and strengthening your team around you to fill out the spots that are not your strengths, great. And take a moment on clarity of purpose. How do leaders do this in a genuine way without feeling false, with feeling like their team will respect them because they really believe there is that clarity of purpose, that it's just not wrapped around, it's not a pretend purpose, but how do you imbue that strength and that leadership so people really feel that and feel connected and strong with that clarity of purpose?
Well, you know, I think it boils down to truly having a real purpose. You know, in the introductions, hearing everyone introduce themselves earlier, there was such sincerity on why they do what they do and why it matters. And I think every organization needs to know that. Every leader at the top of an organization needs to know why it matters that we do what we do, because in the midst of it all, with all of the, you know, let's just say in an agency world, with all of the details that go into making a final product that gets delivered to a client, it can be a real feeling of lack of purpose unless the leader is continually communicating the big picture that we are helping drive economic success for organizations, which feeds peoples, which pays individuals, which feeds families. We are making an economic impact in our communities. That kind of big picture thinking is real, but you have to understand it and then communicate it and do it over and over. I would say Patrick Lencioni, I have read a lot of his books, and one of the things he talks about is a CEO should really think about being a CRO, which is a chief repetition officer, to continually repeat the things that matter. And the purpose of the organization really needs to be at the crux of that message, in my opinion.
Let me ask you one more question. You've built this great client base and this great team of people at your company. How do you maintain that connectivity with clients where they feel like you're really taking care of their needs? I mean, I've watched the business. I know you mentioned that you're now serving as chief marketing officer for a $15 billion bank while running your firm. How do you maintain that hands-on connectivity with both your people and your clients?
Well, first of all, I think leaders need to have a desire to serve. So this is not – stepping into a leadership role is not a reward for effort. It's actually a commitment to serving the people around you. And that means you actually have to care. The leader really, truly has to care about the outcome for the client, about the team that surrounds you and that delivers excellence for your clients every day. And if you don't, if you truly just are there for the job, it will not work. So the way you stay connected is truly having a heart that cares for the success of the clients, cares for the success of the employees, and that continual communication, whether today it's on video or phone call or by email, the more communication, the better. And in times when you're busy, in times when things are crazy, it can be challenging to focus on that communication, but that is when things are most important to stay in touch and stay close.
And this point on truly caring to do it great for the client is so important, not just to get paid, not just to finish the job, but to truly do it great is so important. Michelle, let me turn to you. You're also a remarkable leader. I've watched you in action a great deal. Talk a little bit about what you see in leadership today and what works in leadership today.
Wow, that's a great question, Scott. And I think what I see working in leadership today is basically people who collaborate. The two ladies that have spoken before, Marion and Julia, talked a lot about teams and, you know, kind of being communicating a lot with your teams. I really see that collaboration and working with your team, again, communicating the purpose and making sure that everyone knows what it is that we're trying to accomplish, and then collaborating on what the best way to accomplish that is. The whole speed of everything today, Julia had said the fast will beat the slow. And in this virtual world that we're all operating in right now, things are changing sometimes daily in terms of technology, in terms of opportunities. And the best way forward that we lead is by collaborating with our teams and then coming up with a strategy based on what is happening today and executing.
And Michelle, let me ask you a follow-up question that I've seen you lead tremendous positivity and enthusiasm towards your teammates, towards your clients, towards others. How important is that positive, optimistic effort in leading teams today?
Wow, I think that just kind of it's an overarching, you really have to be positive. You really have to find the silver lining and then be able to communicate that. I think Marion said it beautifully earlier where she was talking about where we have to be, you know, we have to be really present to be able to show our value and to be able to value our clients. And I think by being positive, by showing that there is a way forward, by strategizing and trying to find those silver linings and find those opportunities, gets people all on that track to move forward positively. I fear when we get negative or we get, you know, the whole what ifs that we can all go into, and it can really get to bog down teams. So by coming up with a way forward, even if it's just today we're going to execute on having a conference call where we're going to come up with a strategy, and just giving people a focus and a goal, I think is so incredibly important today.
Thank you very much. I've watched it in action and truly remarkable. Lindsay, you also are a complete self-starter. You're one of two University of Virginia graduates on the phone today, on the webinar today. You founded a business from scratch. Tell us a little bit about what you think about leadership today and what works and what you see that you admire in leadership.
Well, everything that's been said, I agree with, but to take a slightly different thought path. The last couple of months, the only people the conference industry is beating out are the airlines. So we've had a very difficult 3 or 4 months where it's very hard to make decisions, 1 month out, 2 months out, much less 6 months, a year. So for us, it's thinking in 7-day sprints, in 1-month goals, and really focusing on what can we control, what can we do to move the ball forward today. I think for many of us, the strategic vision hasn't changed. The way that we get there has changed quite a bit. One of your questions was, you know, who are you reading? Who's your mentor, business mentor? Well, at the beginning of the summer, I can't believe I hadn't read this before, but I read The Obstacle is the Way. And I think the biggest lesson for me was not so much to stay positive, but while being extremely realistic and doing the hard things that we need to do to survive this challenging time, look for the opportunities. Don't get so emotional and caught up in the struggle that you can't see that this could actually, in a strange way, be the path you've been looking for. So I think keeping an eye out for those opportunities that are all around us, and that requires really, I think, some stoic Jedi mind tricks to make sure that you don't get bogged down with the anxiety, uncertainty, stress of running a business right now.
And let me ask you a follow-up question on that. You're a leader who I have great admiration for, extremely smart, self-starter, and so forth. You spoke to something that's a very vulnerable thought, which is the thought of, look, at the start of this pandemic, if you're in the conference business, you start to see conferences shut down, or you're any kind of business that requires live people, here is a period of time of sort of utter panic of at least for most of us, of how am I going to get from point A to point B? How did you adjust that period of time and start to play yourself through that period of time and start to communicate? Yes, realistic. You can't just be bubbly when things are too tough because people will be like, what's wrong with you? But how do you go from, you know, this great panic to squaring yourself again and resiliency and getting back with your team and providing leadership? How do you handle those issues, Lindsay?
I think the best move we made early on was we decided not to do death by a thousand cuts. We could see pretty quickly that this was serious. It wasn't going to be short term for us, and we had no way to know when things were going to return. So we made a tremendous amount of cost cuts up front. We renegotiated all our hotel contracts early. And we got on the phone with every single client and tried to communicate as best we could. And so we made a lot of those really tough decisions that could have ended up being maybe premature. I mean, if things had gone a different direction, but we did that up front, and that included, you know, letting some people on my team go, which was incredibly hard. But that took about 2 weeks, which really freed us up to take a deep breath and again, kind of settle into what can we do this week? What can we do this month? Where can we deliver value? And I think, you know, as I said, I mean, the obstacle is the way. We realized that, you know, more than ever, people need what we do, which is human connection. I mean, what we are really great at is creating these kind of magical events where you walk in the room and you just feel energized because there's a bunch of, in our case, we cater to women, but a bunch of women who know your industry and love your industry, and they come together and you just feel like you're part of a community. Well, that can be done in other ways, and we're exploring how to do that virtually. And the last thing we want to do is leave everyone home sitting in their kitchen on a Zoom call feeling alone. So we've figured out how to do what we do virtually in the short term. I don't think that's how we want to run our business going forward, but it has allowed us to keep going, to keep serving our clients, to get really creative. So, I mean, it's putting one foot in front of the other and, you know, day by day, taking it day by day.
Thank you very, very much. Julia, I'm going to start with you and ask each of you the following question in just a 30, 45 second answer each. What doesn't work in leadership today? Quick thoughts on what doesn't work in leadership. Julia, can I start with you?
Absolutely. I think what doesn't work in leadership today, and I've actually heard this with what we've already discussed here, is trying to go it alone. That you just can't. You can't know enough. You can't be enough. You can't sustain your energy and your perspective by yourself. Anyone who brings their ego into the room with them these days in a big way is not going to succeed. You need the help of others, and you need to know what you don't know, and you need to fill in those gaps with other people who can bring that expertise to the table.
Thank you. And a question on this. Nothing great gets done without teams. How do you think about these issues when you have limited capital? How do you build teams, build collaboration, when you don't necessarily have a lot of capital to invest in significant teams?
This is a hard one for me because, you know, your other panelists here are business leaders. So I'm trying to think in terms of what I would do for my students in trying to create situations where we can all succeed, where our where we're limited with resources. And I think probably the key to that is going to be that you tap into, you know, the hearts of the people around you. Marion mentioned that if you really care and you show that you care and you create an environment where other people are allowed and encouraged to care, you can get a lot done. You can get a lot done when people are bringing their hearts and their minds and their souls and their energy forward to succeed far above and beyond anything that you can fix with a checkbook.
Thank you. I mean, far better to have three magnificent people than 30 that aren't tapped in and really engaged in the business and whatever you're doing. Thank you very much, Julia. I didn't mean to put you on the spot, but thank you very much for your thoughts. Really helpful. Marion, your thoughts on what doesn't work in leadership today? Just 30 seconds here.
Okay. I would say first, taking people for granted, whether they are your team or your clients. Do not assume that people will be there unless you pour into them, build them up, invest in them, clients and people. And then the other thing I would say is what doesn't work is assuming the way we've done it is the way we need to keep doing it. I think you have to, we have talked about here having a culture of continuous improvement, which means everything we do is we can question whether we should be doing it that way now. And it has been that way for the last couple of years because we recognized early on that this industry has changed drastically so quickly in the last 5 to 10 years, and we have to be ready to change and innovate at a moment's notice. So we ask that question about everything we do. Do we need to keep doing it the same way? And if a leader isn't thinking that way, I think that doesn't work.
Thank you. So really, two great suggestions. First is making sure you're really giving your all to your people, that you're feeling connected to them, you're taking care of them, and so forth. And second is that you constantly have your eye on the ball of how do you improve? Are you changing practice? You need to practice. You need to change practices and so forth. Really helpful. Michelle, your thoughts on what doesn't work in leadership today?
You know, actually, one of the biggest things I think that doesn't work in leadership today is being polarizing, is being a us versus them, as opposed to being collaborative. And then second of all is leadership through intimidation. You know, that is, again, not working today. We have got to listen to people, work with people, connect with people. And you know, it's the my way or the highway is just not, it just doesn't work today right now.
And Michelle, I'm going to segue to Julia on a follow-up question to what you said. Julia, you had spent some time in the military, and talk about the military's change in attitude on leadership from what at one time was a complete command and control structure to a more collaborative structure. Any thoughts on that? And how much has that evolution been true or not true? Or any observations there?
Well, I think that definitely taps into the reality that the world has changed. You know, in the military at its very basic, It used to be a bunch of people out on a field marching toward a bunch of other people out on a field, you know, kind of low tech. You need to do exactly what I say, exactly as I tell you to do it, very authoritarian. And it worked for those times under those situations. You know, that's certainly not what the military is anymore. The military is high tech. The military is very much kind of computer based, if you will. It is intelligence. It is strategy. And when you start talking in those terms, then you start seeing it through the same lens as complicated businesses. You know, it's about getting the right team together. It is about having the right information at the right time in the hands of the right people. So I would say, yes, obviously the military has changed tremendously, but in the same way that business has, and probably for much the same reasons. The world has changed, technology has changed, people's expectations have changed. What's going to put you ahead is not the same things that would have put you ahead, you know, 50 or 100 years ago.
Thank you very much. Michelle, let me go back to you. We've got a question from the audience around changes in innovations. Take a moment and any innovations or changes that you've seen in your business. Then I'm also going to ask Lindsay and Marion the same question. Any changes or innovations you've seen that you're working on?
Absolutely. You know, I think if this just goes back to what some of the other presenters have spoken about, which is doing the same thing the way we've always done it just doesn't work anymore. And one of the biggest innovations I've seen in the meeting business is that the technology for virtual meetings and the technology for getting people together has gone from getting people on a conference call, which was how it was a year ago, to we can use Zoom or Teams, to full scale virtual meetings. And the technology is coming so quickly. And quite honestly, Scott, I think these are things that we wouldn't have looked into in the meeting business previously because, for quite frankly, we didn't have to. We were doing the same things the same way and it was working. I'm kind of thinking that some of the technological advances that we've been seeing because we've had to change might actually make our businesses and our deliverables better. That we don't always have to meet in person and that there can be better ways to do things. And I just really see the technology of some of the, just the innovation technology surrounding getting people together to meet while not physically being in the same room has been astounding over the last 3-4 months. It's just been incredible.
And thank you very, very much. Lindsay, let me come to you and ask you two questions. What doesn't work in business, and also as you've also made this evolution to online, both workforce and also conferences and connectivity, some of the innovations and changes that you're seeing?
As far as what doesn't work, I think getting angry, frustrated, letting the uncertainty weigh you down and almost paralyze the decision-making process. So that just doesn't work right now. And I think I completely agree on the technology front. I've been overwhelmed with the positive reception with some of these virtual meeting, virtual ways for people to connect. And though there are pros and cons, for example, I think that for existing relationships, some of these virtual technology-enabled interactions could enhance those because you're seeing people in a more authentic, stripped down way. You're seeing their homes, their families. I think that is potentially a net positive. I think sometimes it can be less helpful in forming new relationships, or maybe not less helpful, but not the whole solution. I think, you know, there is something to the in-person casual conversations that build over time, you know, relationships form by shared experiences, and relationships need to be nurtured over time. So I think I do worry that forming new relationships, I'm not sure we've fully figured that out virtually. But I'm excited to see, I'm fascinated by the opportunity to try to connect in new ways, to try to find that uncommon commonality with people. And the fact that we don't have to do it in person opens up a world of possibilities. So I think I agree that we'll never go back to a limited mindset on what's possible in terms of who we can connect with, who are our people, where we can find our tribe.
But it's a great point, though, because the virtual everything is not really a complete substitute for in-person some, in terms of onboarding people, in terms of really getting to know people, really developing relationships, and just social isolation. People still want in-person something, and it's a matter of what that bridge ends up being and what that continuum ends up being of in-person to virtual. Lindsay, is that a fair statement?
I think it is. I think that the future is some sort of hybrid. You know, maybe we don't, for one day meetings, we're not, you know, taking up a full day hopping on a plane, but there is still a place for getting together and doing, I think it's really those shared experiences, the time, the small moments where you bond over, you know, any number of things. And I see a question about what's working in the virtual. And I mean, I'm happy to give some examples. We've, for example, launched a back to school event where this is something we would never have covered. KO typically does industry, like heavy industry conferences about oil and gas and real estate, multifamily real estate deals. You know, we're not typically covering topics on the human side of the equation, but I've heard from so many people that this kind of back to school question mark is extremely stressful. It's causing toxic anxiety for working moms all across the country. And I thought, you know what, it would be so easy for us to, we've adopted this platform called Hopin. I mean, we're going to get everyone together from across the country, separate them out into different age groups, facilitate just conversations, coffee hours with people where it's, you know, these are business women, but they also have families and children, and they're smart and creative and can help one another, truly. I mean, my hope is that walking away from that, the anxiety is lessened. And bonding over that, I mean, if someone can help you find a solution for your child, I mean, I don't, from my perspective, I'll remember that person forever. And so I think that that's not something we would have done before. It's not something we would have been able to do cheaply before. I mean, before, literally, it cost us nothing. We just put this event together, and we already have the subscription to the event. We just send out an email. And, you know, before, it would have been quite a bit of orchestration to get something like that together. So, you know, I think there's more out there like that.
Thank you very much. Another question, and Marianne, I'll start with you. Mentors, role models, or business authors, you've mentioned Patrick Lencioni. Any other role models, mentors, business authors that have been inspiring to you or helped you in your journey? And I'll ask Julia, Lindsay, and Michelle the same thing. Anybody you'd point to that people can read or so forth, business authors or speakers?
Well, aside from Scott Becker, who is one of the most inspirational guys I've met, and he continues to keep the pedal down. I have actually referenced you on so many occasions because it's just really impressive to watch from afar and from up close. I would say Jim Collins, the book Good to Great, had such a big impression on me early on in my entrepreneurial career, let's say, that I still pull lessons from that book and then The Great by Choice that I read subsequently. So really, Simon Sinek, certainly the Start with Why, talking about your purpose and, you know, understanding that. And then most recently, his book, The Infinite Game, which is also really an interesting concept, which is I just love. So, you know, I've always been a lover of books, so I tend to look to authors but more recently, podcasts have become quite, you know, every time I'm in the car, I generally put on a podcast. And I love to hear the stories of other entrepreneurs. And there's a podcast, Entree Leadership, in addition to your podcast, where the other people are interviewed and share their story. And I find it inspirational. I also sometimes get ideas. So for me, it's less about an individual and more about a collective learning experience from various people, authors, podcasts, that sort of thing. I would say you and my husband's been a great mentor for me. Honestly, he's a really big thinker and leader in his own right. So I'm very fortunate to have that balance when I can go home and ask questions about growing something, whether it's the bank role or the agency role. He's a really good sounding board for me.
That's fantastic praise. The question for you is the length of podcast. Do you have a preference on long podcast, 30, 60 minutes versus 10, 15 minutes? Do you have a sense of that? And what do you prefer listening to?
Personally, I go for about 20 minutes, 20 to 30, and that's about right for me. Shorter, maybe I don't feel like I've gotten as much information. Beyond 30 minutes, I feel like maybe I don't have enough time for it. So really somewhere the sweet spot for me is between 20 and 30 minutes. That's a personal
preference.
Thank you
very much.
Obviously. Yeah.
No. Trying to understand different people's personal preferences is really helpful. Michelle, your thoughts, business authors, mentors, speakers, people that you listen to or hear that you particularly, you know, gain inspiration from or that you teach you. The Good to Great's a perfect example of someone who really built this concept of need teams, great people, and you can almost do anything once you have great people and great teams. So I cannot agree more with one of Marion's call outs. Michelle, any thoughts from you?
Absolutely. You know, and there are so many good books out there, you know, just so many good authors and so many good business leaders. But I have a very funny mentor, or one that, you know, is kind of just something that you want to emulate or be thought of. And it's going to sound very strange, Scott, but Mary Poppins. And the reason why I'm going to say that is that she was ultimately resourceful, right? This character that was created and was a Disney character, but she was ultimately resourceful, and she was able to pull anything out of that bag. And I think as just kind of in terms of a mentorship and in terms of a vision as a leader, people are looking up to us to have that answer, to pull something out of the bag, to think of what we might need before they think we need it. And so even though it sounds very odd to pull a Disney character as that, you know, there's just something that you just go, wow, you know, there is just to just have that positivity and that energy of, I can find an answer. I can solve things. I can be solution oriented. I can pull something out of my bag, and then we can work with what we got. We don't have to go outside all the time. We can work with what we got. We've got the answers right here. I know it sounds like a very funny one, but that's absolutely what I think of when I'm like, what do I want to emulate and be that?
No, and we love that concept. That concept of, and if quite frankly, if we could teach our children more than anything else in the world, this resourcefulness and resilience. We've done a magnificent job with our children, and teaching that resourcefulness is so much more important than almost anything else. So I love your sentiment and thought on it. Lindsay, mentors, role models, authors that you listen to that have been important to you, any thoughts there?
Oh my goodness, Jim Collins, Entree Leadership, I love it all. I'm such a podcast obsessed listener. I completely agree. I also love Story Brand, which is Donald Miller. I don't have a strong marketing background, and so I've learned a tremendous amount from him, and he brings on great guest speakers. Often some of these other authors are on his podcast, Story Brand. We're an EOS company, I don't know if you all have read Traction, Gina Wickman. We have adopted EOS, and it's been incredibly helpful. The tools in there have kept us focused and disciplined and gave us something to kind of come back to when things start to spiral or we feel a little bit lost. So,
Lindsay, take a moment on what that means to be an EOS company. It's I've seen it in your name more recently, and I've seen it more throughout periodically it comes up. Can you take a moment on that? Because I don't think all of us are very familiar with that. I'm certainly not. I've heard some of it, but not that much.
It's the Entrepreneurial Operating System. Gina Wickman wrote a book called Traction, and there's kind of a formula for setting up your business, and there's sort of the six key areas of your business, and kind of one by one you go through and start to think through how to build a sustainable, scalable business with these business principles. And I'll just give you an example that it kind of all starts with this thing called the Vision Traction Organizer, the VTO, where it forces you to sit down and write out your mission, vision, 10-year plan, 5-year plan, 3-year plan, 1-year plan, quarterly goals. It sort of gives you a framework, like what is a good goal, what's a goal versus a task, and organizes all of this chaos. And when I first heard about it, I put the book away, I put it back on the shelf, I just couldn't handle it. But about 6 months ago, I heard someone speak who had adopted it, and the elegant way, the sort of clarity of vision that they had, and the way that they've integrated process operate. I mean, a lot of us, I'm a sort of visionary leader, which means I have a gushing overflow of ideas. But in reading Traction, I realized what I'm sort of missing is that integrator, that person who can take these ideas and put order around them and move them forward. So it sort of is just a framework for those of us who are running businesses and maybe don't have Julia's expertise on what the right marketing strategy, business strategy, sales strategy, finance strategy. It gives you a toolbox to set up a business and always come back to that set of principles.
Thank you very much. Julia, let me ask you the question of mentor, role model, or author, someone that's been helpful to you in thinking about your business life and your professional life.
My two favorite authors are Darnella Meadows and Peter Senge, and I hope I'm saying his last name correctly. I see it written, not spoken. But both of them wrote a great deal on systems thinking. And it is not, to some extent, some of their writing will feel just a little dated in their examples, but the core of the ideas that they share on how to deal with complicated issues and how to look at them and how to approach them systematically, it's phenomenal. It's life-changing. It's one of those, it's a way of thinking that when you do some reading in that area, systems thinking, you realize how much you've been missing in your worldview. It's, to me, the first time I started reading this area, it was literally life-changing.
Can you do me a favor? Can you repeat the names of those two authors for our audience?
Darnella Meadows and Peter Senge. And Darnella's
Thank
book
you.
That is my favorite is Thinking in Systems, and Peter's is Systems Thinking.
Fantastic. Thank you very, very much. I'm going to ask each of our panelists one more question. Lindsay, I'll start with you. One or two pieces of advice for business leaders today. One to two pieces of advice. Lindsay?
The obstacle is the way, man. that's mine. It's been echoing in my mind all summer. The obstacle is the way. There's always an opportunity out there for all of us. So look for the silver lining. And I wanted to share one of the tools from EOS that's been the most helpful. It's called a level 10 weekly meeting. I won't bore you with the details, but if you're looking for some structure in your week, this is an amazing tool to get your leadership team together and start moving the ball forward again.
Thank you very much. So the obstacle is the way and level 10 meetings from the EOS system. Thank you. Michelle, one to two piece of advice for business leaders.
Absolutely. I think the first is it kind of exactly what Lindsay was saying is that, you know, patience right now, don't panic. It's a marathon. We will get through this. focus on what you can accomplish today, but plan for the future and start to find those opportunities and the way forward and be that leader. I think that that's just, you know, kind of that focusing on accomplishing what we can accomplish today, but setting goals and reasonable goals that we can accomplish today, but being forward thinking. I think that's the most important thing. And keeping your team focused on still collaborating and coming up with innovative ideas to move the ball forward.
And so critical, I think great advice and just so core to management, but even so much more important in this virtual world that we're living in is keeping the team focused and both on existing business and new business and so forth and staying forward thinking. Magnificent, Michelle. Thank you. Marian, 1 to 2 pieces of business advice for leaders today.
I would say it's critical to know your purpose, and then, but beyond that, know your very important purpose and communicate it consistently to your team, to your clients, to your customers. Make sure that you're communicating. And then I would say right now, more than ever, as a leader, be human. Communicate transparently, vulnerably, authentically. Let people know what you know. If you can't be certain about something, which a lot of us, we've heard that theme throughout this conversation, we don't have certainty, but we can communicate clearly about what we do know and honestly about what our situation is, and then positively about how we're going to overcome the challenge ahead. So I think really knowing your purpose, communicating it, and then being human would be my recommendations.
Thank you very, very much. And Julia, yourself, 1 to 2 pieces of business advice today.
I'm going to steal from the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy here, and I'm going to say the number one thing to consider is don't panic. So I know a lot of people are feeling completely overwhelmed right now. And if you just take care of yourself, get your sleep, take care of your mental health, watch your diet, get your exercise, hug your kids, reach out to your friends, take a deep breath, and don't panic. We are all going to get through this, and it's all going to work out.
Thank you very much. Terrific advice, thoughts. I want to thank Lindsay Burton, Michelle Byers, Marian Crawford, Julie Kalish for joining us today. Very inspiring, very helpful. I appreciate all of your thoughts and your connectivity. Thank you very much. We'll call it a break at this point. Thank you.